The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast. This is the Max Kellerman Show. Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio.
Yes, the Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Also, check me out on the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80, wherever you get your podcasts. What were the Lakers thinking? 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. Lakers lose to the Suns 113-100. They're eliminated from the playoffs. Suns advanced after beating L.A. 113-100 in Game 6 of their first-round series. Devin Booker, I told you before the series, mini Mamba, game-high 47 points, 11 boards, 8 threes in those 47 points. And 8 times 3 is 24, and I got right off the top of my head I did that. That's right, Raj. 8 times 3 I know is 24 right away. So more than half of his points were off threes, but he still scored over 20 points without shooting threes. What do you think of that? That's division and multiplication, subtraction.
You know why you're able? Know why you're able to do that, Max? Because you're the best, I tell you.
Suns led by as many as 29 in the first half. They, you know, LA was ranked number one in defense per possession, you know, efficiency. Before the playoffs started, but guess what? Their best defensive player and the second best player overall on the team and the guy who was really the main offensive weapon even last year in the run to the title, AD, wasn't playing. And actually, it was even worse when he was. Why would they put him in game six? Not AD's fault. Not AD's fault. You know whose fault it is? It's our fault. Who's us, the fans, getting on AD, right? The media. Let me start with me. I called him Mr. Glass. Charles Barkley called him street clothes. Stephen A. said, I don't care what the medical guys say. This is up to AD. Don't wait for the medical guys to clear you. Oh, really? Well, AD listened to all that, I guess, and he gave it his best shot. It's up to the Lakers to stop him from hurting himself and them. Because let me tell you what, you're down 3-2. Even if AD can help you win game six, you're going to lose game seven now because he definitely won't be able to play, right? Or let me put it another way. Clearly, from the condition AD was in, he was only going to be able to play in one of the next two games. So what's better? Forget about what order they come in. What's better? For him to be a more diminished version of himself that makes him maybe compromised for the following series if somehow you should win. That's if he plays game six. Or for him to be a more rested, closer to full version of himself in game seven and then less likely to damage himself further for the following series. Which one? Because you know what a groin strain is? It means a tiny little micro tear in the muscle. You know how I know this? Dr. Clapper of 710 ESPN told me all about this back in the day. Anyway, it's worse than that, though. Not making sense along those lines. AD came out limping. Everyone could see it. Chris Paul ran the whole offense into anyone who you know, AD was guarding. Wherever AD was, that's where the offense was going. And it made it worse. But it's worse even than that! The Lakers team was so discombobulated by this that they were down almost 30 by the half. But it's worse than that. Because LeBron, bad ankle and all, once they got a cohesive kind of game plan together, they're going to go small, bring some energy. They cut it to single digits from almost 30. They made up almost 20 points. Now they only lost by 13. So by my calculations, they had a chance to win the game had they not started AD in the first place. Frank Vogel, what happened?
We knew it was going to be difficult for him to be able to move. You know, he did everything he could from a treatment standpoint to loosen it up. You know, was hoping that, you know, some in-game adrenaline would also help with it. But, you know, certainly wasn't moving well at all to start the game. And then went down, grabbing it at that one point early in the first.
Anthony Davis, why'd you do it, AD?
Just wanted to be out there for the team, you know, in a situation, win or go home. Obviously didn't want to just lay down and not be able to do what I can. It never really felt good, but like I say, you know, once in a while, just the competitive nature in me to go out and help the team, you know, as best as I could. My body didn't agree. Team fault. I mean, we fought, made runs. You know, guys left it all out on the floor tonight, and we get ready for next year. You know, we get ready to have a full off season. Everyone heal up, especially you know the guys that say you hurt a lot this year. Heal your bodies, rest your bodies, and get ready for next season. That's all we can do. That's what I'm going to do. Let the body heal and get right back to it.
LeBron, meantime, left the court before the game was over. Didn't shake hands. Not a great look for him. I think he's just not used to losing in the first round. I bet you he wished he could have that one back and was very frustrated. LeBron, what was it like getting knocked out of the playoffs in the first round for the first time in your career?
The season started so fast after leaving the bubble, obviously. The one thing that bothers me more than anything, we never really got an opportunity to see our full team at full strength, either because of injury or COVID or something going on with our ball club this year. We could never fully get into a rhythm and never really kind of see the full potential of what we're capable of. And, but all in all, you know, I give my hats off to everyone on this team who showed up every day to work, showed up every day to compete, showed up every day to put in the time and effort and obviously fell short of our goal, but try to do everything we could to be as good as we could be, as great as we could be under the circumstances.
What do you think the odds are that Kyle Kuzma is still on the team next year? I mean, the reason he's on the team in the first place is because no one wanted him, right? Like, that's why the Lakers couldn't unload him in any of those trades. I'm sure they were like, hey, we'll throw in Kuzma. And, you know, the Pelicans like, we'll take Ingram. Thank you very much. By the way, it's about a year ago now. Do you remember, maybe a little more, when people were saying Kuzma was one of the big three with LeBron and AD? And I tried to correct people back then. Big three? Get to be an average player at your position first. NBA playoffs are on ESPN Radio. Tune in tonight for Game 6 as the Mavericks host the Clippers, presented by Indeed. Coverage begins at 8:30 p.m. Eastern on most ESPN radio stations.
It was like a Game 7 because nobody's trying to see Damian Lillard, one of the clutchest players ever, like Game 7.
Where we are now isn't good enough. I don't know what the shakeup looks like. Obviously, as is, it wasn't good enough.
Nuggets eliminate the Blazers, as I thought they would, behind Nikola Jokic's performance. Joker was the best player in the series, including Damian Lillard. Like, everyone's got to get it through their heads. Jokic ain't from here. He's not a high flyer. He's not a great defender, although not the worst. He's just the league MVP this year, he's going to be, and the best player in the playoff series with Damian Lillard. One of the things about Damian Lillard is that he's going to get a max contract, and he's worth every penny, right? Who wouldn't want Damian Lillard on their team? But in a league with a salary cap, even if it's soft cap, if you pay Lillard a max deal, you must have another player at least as good as him if you want to even win a single championship. And it may not be enough. You need another player at least as good as Lillard. Like, Lillard's probably best served having someone a little better than him on the team. And then have another all-star, too. And then maybe you'll win a championship. That's how hard it is in the NBA. Think of the teams that win titles. Steph, Clay, Dre, Iggy, it's still not quite enough. Like, if the other team's not hurt, like the Cavs were the first time they played, it's not enough. We need to get KD on top of that. Jordan, Pippen, you know, either Grant or Rodman. That's what it takes. Kobe and Shaq in their primes. It's hard. Magic and Kareem. How about throwing James Worthy? It's hard. Very few champions where the best player is Damian Lillard level. And I love Lillard. Love him. But we just have to be, you have to be, have a sober assessment of the quality of each player. Jokic is a foot taller, so he's better. Jokic is one of the greatest passers ever. He can dominate on the boards. He can control the offense and the flow of a game. He can score down low. He can shoot from the outside. You know, the Nuggets might get out of the West. If they could do it, I wouldn't put it past them. Porter Jr. shooting the lights out. Real deep backcourt even without Jamal Murray. If Jamal Murray was on Denver right now, I'd pick him to get out of the West. Absolutely. They would get out of the West with Jamal Murray. Without him, they still might. Jokic is that good. By the way, he's going to be the best player in every series he plays in the Western Conference right now. Jeremy in Utah, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Hey, Max, thanks. Why do you hate Seattle so much? Why would you send the Clippers an overpriced, underperforming group there? Like, what's your beef with Seattle?
I think
because they can own this team?
No, that'd be horrible. No, you just change the name back to the Sonics, right? And you're fine. You're good. Just make it the Sonics. I agree with you. You don't want to call them the Clippers. Change the name of the team. Move them back to Seattle. I don't hate Seattle. The Clippers are a good team. Seattle's a great market. No, my issue is the L.A. Clippers are doomed. Andre in Toronto, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Yeah, I'm hearing a lot of what-ifs about the Lakers. My comment and question is, what if this is the beginning of the end of LeBron?
Yeah, it could
be. And what if the Lakers overcayed their hand putting that duo together, AD and LeBron?
It's already resulted in a championship. How could it have been overplayed? Think of how many teams develop prospects and have plans that tank for 2-3 seasons and then put it all together and finally win a single. The Lakers already won a championship. LeBron and AD's already worked. Anything more, that's gravy. Time to Mike Jordan on the Goodyear Hotline. Jordan Schultz, ESPN NBA analyst. Jordan, where do the Lakers go from here?
You know, I've been asking myself that question all morning, Max, and if you go back and you think about this series and this season as a whole, what we saw was a team that, you know, was never healthy, didn't gel chemistry-wise, and I've spoken with a number of people inside that organization, and despite all the talent, the issue really all year was chemistry, and they never felt like they got it together, never felt like they got it rolling. You know, last year in the bubble, they really gelled, and everyone seemed to really like each other and understand their role. When you lose Davis, obviously, if you have poor chemistry or subpar chemistry, then it really rears its ugly head. And their whole offense revolved around him whenever LeBron is not 100%. You know, they really relied on AD to create for everyone else. And not having him available basically the last three games and having LeBron, who clearly wasn't 100% with that ankle, you saw a team that is just not there. They don't have the horses. And then you saw a team in Phoenix that is built to win right now and is learning how to win on the job, which is really exciting as a young team. So I think the counter or the dichotomy there was really interesting as well from an NBA fan standpoint.
Jordan Schultz, ESPN NBA analyst and insider. Jordan, does Damian Lillard need to leave Portland?
Well, he's a loyal guy, Max, and the sense I get is that despite everything that's happened and maybe that kind of cryptic Instagram post, I don't think he will. I think he's still, you know, he's in his prime. He's going to go into his 30s, and he's still obviously playing at an MVP caliber level. But my sense in speaking with people within the organization and then around the league is that Dame wants to make it work there. He wants a new coach. I think they will move on from Terry Stotts despite that extension. And I think they're really working toward how can we make Dame and CJ work. And I think they really want to, and they believe they can. And I think it obviously starts with Dame, who my impression is that he does want to stay and he wants to be a Blazer for the rest of his career.
Well, they are undersized as a combination, mm-hmm. he and CJ. And the issue with a market like Portland is if there's a guy in his, you know, sixth season who's a max contract type guy, he's usually not going to demand a trade to Portland. Right, it's not as sexy a market as some other markets, and so they're not going to give up the farm to get the guy for 1 year. And I'm looking at ways for them to get better. Neil O'Shea is an excellent GM, but there are better GMs. You know, he's great. He's not like the best GM in the league, but he's a very good GM. He was good with the Clippers too. And Stotts is an excellent coach. There are better coaches, but he's excellent. They're all competent. By the way, Damian Lillard's an excellent star. There are better stars. So given the market, given the fact that none of those guys are the best, how do they win a championship up there? Like, who could they possibly go and get and keep McCollum and Lillard? What is Nurkic plus whoever else,
right?
You know, Simons, how are you going to, who are you going to go get?
So I think the four core guys need to be CJ, Dame, Nurkic, and Simons. Those are the guys that are, to me, should not be moved, and you can build around them. And then you're talking about the draft, and they are going to have some cap. I don't think, you know, Carmelo will be back. They obviously traded Gary Trent for Norman Powell. I don't think he'll be back, and they'll have some cap, and they'll have to rely on Dame to make a sales pitch. And that's when also having a new head coach with a new vision that maybe has relationships around the league, I'm thinking of like a Jason Kidd, that's when that comes into effect and he can help you recruit. And I spoke with Jason this morning. He's obviously was a lead assistant with the Lakers. He's the guy that I think would help you need someone like that that's been around the league. Maybe it's a David Vanderpool, who was with Portland, has a great relationship with Dame and CJ, and was let go by the Timberwolves and never been a head coach. You need someone like that because you're right. It's not a big market. It's kind of like an Indiana or Milwaukee where you don't necessarily get prime free agents. You need your stars to go out and recruit, and that's what I think they'll have to do.
Jordan Schultz, ESPN NBA analyst and insider, talks to everybody on the Goodyear Hotline, Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio. Jordan, who wins? Like, well, forget about the series. Can the Clippers get to a Game 7?
No. Right. Oh, Game 7?
Game 7.
Oh, Max. This is the weirdest series I've seen. All five teams,
road team.
All five games have been won by the road team. Have you ever seen that, by the way?
Not off the top of my head, I can't think of a single time. I bet you it's happened. I bet you we've lived through it a couple times, but I can't remember.
It's a very strange deal. So I don't think they can win the series. Maybe they'll get to a seven. They're actually a slight favorite tonight, 2.5, 3 points against Dallas on the road, which I thought was a little surprising, which makes me think you got to take Dallas because they're begging you. Vegas is begging you to take the Clippers. But their problem really has been the same issue they've had the last 2 years, which is, you have an alpha male in Kawhi Leonard, but you also have kind of this randomly pieced team together, pieces that don't necessarily fit. You know, Morris and Jackson, you pay Kennard all this money, he doesn't play. And you don't really know from game to game in the playoffs if you're going to get a superstar effort from Paul George. So for me, that team is flawed. They've been flawed. Dallas is certainly not a perfect roster. But when you have Doncic playing at a 40-point triple-double level game, you're not going to beat them. So I like Dallas tonight. And even if Clippers win tonight, I like Dallas in the series as I have. And I think the Clippers are going to have to really reevaluate, starting with the head coach in Ty Lue.
I'm looking at the Western Conference right now, Jordan, and something, you know, occurs to me about people's reaction to Denver in particular. Like,
okay.
It's like people don't want Jokic to be the story because Denver is not a mega market. Jokic
right.
was not born here. Jokic is not a high flyer or a guard in a league dominated by ball handlers. He's just the best player in every series, and his team keeps winning. And they're deep in the backcourt. Porter Jr. can score, but you know, as a forward, but they're just doing this without Jamal Murray. Like I think they have a shot to get out of the West. Do they have a shot without Jamal Murray to get out of the West?
I don't think they have enough offensively because what's going to happen against a better team, a better defense? You know, Portland. It was really a bottom 26-27 in defense all year. They struggled to defend. So when you go up against a better defense, what happens is Jokic, all of a sudden, you can run everything through him. But when you don't have Murray, you don't necessarily have that second option all the time. And I know Porter was great against Portland, and he's super talented. But he's a baby in this league. And for you to expect him to go for 25-plus every night is not realistic against an elite defense. So, you know, when you play a team like Utah or Phoenix – they have more bodies, more size, and they have better defenses. You know, like the reason the Suns beat the Lakers, or one big reason, was they guard the three. The fact that Denver shoots so many threes and shoots them well is great when you're going up against a bad defense. You're just not going to get those same looks. So for me, what happens is for Denver, who's going to, you know, be a great story in this playoff, they just don't have enough offense, in my opinion, even with Jokic going for 30-10. To persevere. But Max, it's a great story. And Jokic is an unbelievable player. And they literally run him off pin downs. Yeah. He runs pick and roll. He's
crazy, truly
unicorn in every sense of the word.
Meantime, in a year where it looked likely that you could have a New York-LA finals, looks like we could be heading for Utah and Milwaukee. We'll have to wait
right.
and see.
Oh, okay.
There you go. Jordan Schultz.
I like Utah. I like Utah. I do like that team. That's
yeah,
a really
I like
good
Utah
team.
Too, but don't let the Nets get started. The Nets in Milwaukee is a great series. All right, Jordan, I will talk to you next week. Thanks, as always, for coming on. You can hear
Jordan
Schultz here on the Max Kellerman Show weekly. You see him on the Boardroom, on ESPN+, Plus, all over the place. Goodyear, helping you discover the road ahead. Goodyear, more driven, because Jordan joined me on the Goodyear Hotline. Coming up, does Logan Paul have a shot at Floyd Mayweather this weekend? People are asking me this, believe it or not. Friends, if you're in a job you can't stand or worried your unemployment benefits will be ending, you need to go to mycomputercareer.edu, fill out the free career evaluation form. I've personally spoken to them, and they're so legit, employers are lining up to hire their graduates. In as little as 4 months, you can start your career in the growing cybersecurity and networking fields. Grants covering up to 53% of the cost are available to those who qualify. It's not rocket science. It's mycomputercareer.edu. Tell them Max sent you. No doubt, coming up.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus, the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80. I'm going to move to ESPN Street. Get an ESPN house. Also, wherever you get your podcasts, No Doubts coming up, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Small business protection just got easier. With more than 30 coverage options available, Progressive has you covered. More at progressivecommercial.com. Going to get right down to it.
We got you covered.
Let me tell you what I think of music.
No Doubt.
All right. What are we hearing, Raj?
Hey, Max, Trae Young is the next Steph Curry.
No doubt. He's
No doubt.
I explained this like, you know, Steph Curry's Babe Ruth. Babe Ruth 100 years ago, literally over 100 years ago at this point, in a league that told you don't swing for the fences. Like, no, I'm a big, strong guy. I can swing for the fences. So he hit like 54 home runs when no one else like had more than 10, right? And then guys saw, oh, look what you can do. So Jimmy Fox and Lou Gehrig came along and did almost what Ruth. They weren't as good as him, but they approximated him. He showed the way. Steph Curry showed the way. Guys like Damian Lillard and Trae Young are approximations of Steph. So, yeah, the answer is no doubt.
Okay, okay. Hey, Max, it's National Hug Your Cat Day. Mm. Max prefers cats over dogs.
I do, no doubt. Yep. I like dogs. I like cats, too. And, you know, I used to be on the fence. Marcellus was a cat guy, and Michelle Beadle was a dog lady. And the two of them used to argue about this on Sports Nation all the time. And I would always be like, ah, you know, let's peace among the cats and dogs. They're both great. Not great. Like, people over, it's enough with the, you know, people too attached to their pets. But over time, I realized, I prefer cats. They're less work. You know, like, who needs, you don't have to walk them and do all this. You pet them a little bit and scratch them and then say, all right, get the hell out of here.
All right.
What else?
All right. Hey, man, take a listen to Tampa Bay Bucks head coach Bruce Arians.
Well, yeah, okay.
Yeah, we talked about the whole thing, you know, what we're thinking, and, you know, he's so super interested in all that stuff, too. So, I mean, yeah, we had a number of conversations, and as we got closer and closer, you know, say, hey, check this guy out, mm-hmm. and see if you like him. And, you know, so it, yeah, we have a great relationship that way.
Ooh, see, now what he was talking about, this is, that was from the Rich Eisen show. He was talking about his conversations with Tom Brady in choosing, you know, in their picks and things that they do with the team. So what I'm asking you is, Bruce Arians was actually throwing shade at the Green Bay front office.
Nah, son. He's talking about his relationship with Brady. Ah. The Green Bay front office threw shade on themselves. They sought the shade. You know, like that. If Arians explaining what he does with his quarterback, he's supposed to lie about it, not answer it to make Green Bay feel better. No, what he's showing, what it shows, it's not that he's showing it. It demonstrates how stupid the Green Bay front office is. Even if you don't take his suggestions, wouldn't you want to pick the brain of a football genius? Like, Aaron Rodgers is a football genius. You don't want to pick his brain? What, are you insane? it doesn't make any sense. But anyway, no, Arians, yeah, he's got a football genius on his team. He's like, yeah, let me pick his brain for it. I have a resource here. Let's use it.
That's right. Hey, that's right. Hey, you know Logan Paul's fighting Floyd Mayweather this weekend, right?
I do.
He's a friend of the show. Like I say, Logan Paul's a friend of the show. Hey, take a listen to what he said last time when he was on this show, the Max Kellerman Show.
I think I just want it more. I think his age and I think his greed is finally going to catch up to him. You know, he is doing this fight for the money. He is doing this fight for an easy payday. And he's really, really underestimating me. Like, I'm just not the guy. When I spar, I always reach the level of my opponent and then surpass them. And I have everything to gain and nothing to lose. And that's a scary guy. That's a scary guy to be in the ring with.
You heard that. So Logan Paul has a shot against Floyd Mayweather this Sunday.
Nah, son. But I love the way Logan Paul and Jake Paul speak. Because when you talk to them, they present very rational cases. Whether or not you agree with them, you see exactly where they're coming from. And they understand why. They're like, listen, I know how this sounds from the outside, but this is how I feel about it. He's right. He has a size advantage that's enormous. He has a youth advantage. He's taking it seriously. Mayweather's not. The problem is this. Mayweather can roll out of bed and spar an inexperienced cruiserweight. And there's nothing that inexperienced cruiserweight's going to be able to do with him. And that's what Logan Paul is. He's an inexperienced cruiserweight. So even though he's 26, whatever, and Mayweather's 44, it ain't going to make a difference. I mean, it'll make a difference, but that ain't going to be enough for him to hit Floyd Mayweather, let alone beat him. Son. Yeah. Oh, I wanted to say one more thing about cats and dogs. You know what the main thing is I realize? I'm not in the poop collecting business, Raj.
You've mentioned that before, yes.
I don't want to be in that business. You got to go around collect, and people put the bags on their hands. It's hot still, and they pick it
up. That's what kids are for. You have three of them.
You wind up walking the dog. Anyway, if you're in the country, you can let it, or in the suburb, you can let the dog out. It runs around, does its business. But in New York, you're in the collection business all of a sudden. That's not for me. Mm. That's the main difference. All right. A cat, you just empty the litter box, or better yet, have someone else do it. Go ahead.
All right. Well, now we got callers. So you tell me, you want Emilio in Corona, Andre Massachusetts, or Big Phil in Louisiana, all on the Lakers and Anthony Davis?
Emilio in California, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Hey, Max, what's going on? I think the Lakers need to blow this team up, man. It obviously isn't working. And Anthony Davis, man, I love him as a player, as a talent. He's undeniably a top five talent when he's healthy.
Dude,
I'm starting to hear when he's healthy
hold on,
more
Emilio,
than him actually on the court.
They've played two seasons together and won a championship. What are we talking? It's not working? You know what? Any team would make the following deal. Any team in any sport that ever was would sign up for the following. From now on, you win 50% of the championships played. Okay, I sign up. Lakers have had AD for two seasons. They've been in the playoffs twice and won the championship once. Andre in Massachusetts, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio. What's up, Dre?
What's going on, Max? Yes, they have won a championship in the last two seasons, but we all know they had that three-month fiesta last year, Max. Listen, Anthony Davis, he's missed 164 games in his career. That's 18 games per season. He's not built. He doesn't have the durability. Fact of the matter is this. Clutch Sports blew it up after the last championship. They have only themselves to blame. They have to look in the mirror.
All right, but in the seasons that he is healthy, he's great, and LeBron and AD will challenge for the championship whenever they're healthy. Big Phil, last word, Louisiana. Then we got another segment to do. Go ahead, Big Phil.
Yeah, Max, check this out. Now, I hear all this talk about the Lakers lost because of the inavailability of Anthony Davis, right? You agree with that, don't you? I mean,
yeah, they lost because AD wasn't available. Like, correct.
Okay, but all right. Now, the first game that they played, AD was available, and they lost.
Mm-hmm. Well, I didn't think they were going to sweep the Suns. I didn't think they were going to sweep them. But when the Lakers got in a rhythm, remember, they had everyone coming off injury and absence at the same time. AD had missed most of the season, came back, got his feet under him. Beat the Suns without LeBron in the regular season. LeBron came back, had to get in the flow of things. Schroeder came back, you know, COVID protocols, had to get in the flow of things. It took them a couple games, and once they got in the flow of things, they were better than the Suns. Then AD, and by the way, and Chris Paul got hurt. That didn't help the Suns. I thought it would be a tough series and go seven. And once Chris Paul hurt his shoulder, I thought, okay, six, maybe five. And once AD was out, I was like, uh-oh, and sure enough, they lost. Ain't that complicated. Best team would have been – Lakers would have been better at full capacity. And at less – if you take one of their two best players away, they were going to be worse. And that's what happened. Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio. Crossover next.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
All right. What do we got, Raj?
All right, Max. This is a simple one for you. Let's start it off with you. What was Metallica's favorite color?
Black.
Boy, you good. Let me tell you, you good. That's good. That's right. You ready, B?
Wow. Okay.
Metallica, of course, had an album titled Black. Yes, it was their sellout album, but it was still the album. Okay. Multiple choice for you, B. Who won the first Grammy for Best Rap Performance? Was it Young MC? You remember his song, you know? Was it LL Cool J? Was it your favorite Cool Mo D? Or was it DJ Jazzy Jeff and the Fresh Prince? Who won the first Grammy for rap performance, B?
I think I've heard this before, and I want to guess LL Cool J.
That would be incorrect.
All right.
That
would be what was incorrect. The first choice, Raj?
The first choice was Young MC. Then it was LL Cool J.
I'm going to say it was... DJ Jazzy Jeff and the Fresh Prince.
You are 2-0. That's right, Max. We might get to hear your theme song. Okay, this one's for you too, Max. Hey, what band, grunge band from Seattle, let you know that Jeremy has spoken? Jeremy.
Jeremy oh.
Has spoken. Yeah.
What word are you saying?
I don't know. Jeremy?
What are they called?
Jeremy is what he's trying to say.
Yeah, no, I understand.
Jeremy.
The hell are they called?
It's not peanut butter.
Ah! I'm just forgetting their names. I'm just forgetting. Let me see if to go ahead, Brendan, steal it from me, and then I'll see if it's who I'm thinking of.
Pearl Jam.
Yeah, Pearl Jam. Damn. Damn.
That's right. I told you it's not peanut butter, but it's jam. All right. Hey, B, another multiple choice for you. Which rapper has the most fat face tattoos? Is it Post Malone, Lil Wayne, or Gucci Mane? Go ahead, B, whenever you're ready. The most face... You never sat around and just counted people's face tattoos?
This is a ridiculous question. What does this have to do with anything?
I give you multiple choice. I like tattoos.
You got a 1-in-3 shot, dude.
Thanks. I understand how it works.
That's 33.3%.
Then I'll have a 1-in-2 shot.
I guess.
Get it right.
Gucci Mane.
That is incorrect. So it doesn't matter. It is Lil Wayne. That means, Max, you have finally won. Play his theme music. Play his theme music.
Yay for me.
You are the best.
And you know what I get for winning? I get to geek out on my favorite topic presently.
That, you're going
to
tell us who the show is presented by on your screen.
Well, the Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. Now listen to this.
Right.
TMZ is reporting that the government UFO report has no evidence of aliens but doesn't rule it out. Listen to this. You know those unidentified flying objects that have been, by the way, I've been saying it on the air. The Pentagon, it's like, we don't know what it is. Barack Obama said, I don't know. We don't know. They're unidentified. We don't know. Pilots said they're moving too fast to be earthly technology. They got it on infrared. They got it with their eyes. They have photographic evidence. It's about the size of an airplane and of a passenger plane, commercial airline, and it goes 60,000 miles an hour by their calculations, whatever it is, and it doesn't seem to have a propulsion system. So listen to this. I've said there's like a 1-in-5 shot. This thing is advanced alien technology, right? The U.S. government set to release an unclassified report on UFOs for the first time ever, and while intelligence officials reportedly found no evidence these mysterious unexplained flying objects are alien spacecraft, I mean, what would be the evidence, right? It doesn't discount it either. According to reports, the upcoming UFO report is expected to be delivered to Congress sometime before June 25th. Doesn't completely rule out the possibility that UFOs encountered by Navy pilots in recent years are aliens. It's just that there's no solid proof.
Sure.
Instead, the report is expected to confirm that these objects are not top secret American technology. That's interesting, if it's true, but could potentially be experimental or hypersonic aircraft of other countries that we have some issues with, like Russia and China. Here's the problem. Navy pilots have seen objects in the air do things that defy any technology known to man. For example, there are images on radar showing spherical objects that have no wings, no engines, no emissions, and they operate in ways that defy physics and gravity. Navy pilots saw an object at 80,000 feet careen to 20,000 feet in a second and a half. Some of these objects appear to submerge in the ocean, yet submarines found no traces of debris. Pressure has been mounting for more transparency from the U.S. government about UFOs ever since the Pentagon confirmed the existence of an unidentified aerial phenomenon, UAP, which is the new name for UFOs, back in April. By the way, this is all because of this show, Raj. You notice? See how I'm talking about it now? TMZ is picking it up. This had led politicians like Senator Martin Heinrich and Senator Marco Rubio to call for more investigating, with Rubio going as far as to say UFOs pose a risk to our national security. Well, finally, this guy figures something out. Yes, that's right. It's UFOs, whether they're alien or not. Any unidentified object, flying object in our airspace is a national security concern, of course. The upcoming report seems like a starting point, but according to outlets like the New York Times, there's still no explanation from intelligence officials on how these UFOs are able to accelerate and maneuver like they do. One thing's for certain, though, we're not all crazy. You see, Raj, now outlets are picking it up. The New York Times is talking about it now, all because of me and the Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio. That's how I choose to see it. How do you think my sports takes are so advanced? I'm talking to the aliens, of course. Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio. Have a great weekend. I'll see you on Monday.
Thanks for listening to the Max Kellerman Show. Make sure you subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 2 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, or wherever you stream your audio.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.